Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine, live from the Cub Convention at the Sheraton Grand Hotel in downtown Chicago. Time now to welcome the Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer, to the program. Good morning, Jed.
How you guys doing?
We are doing well. How are you feeling today? How did the last night go, the first night of the convention? Everybody's back. It feels like the countdown to spring training. This is always fun.
No, it's great. I feel like you can't not have a lot of energy in here. You know, all the fans have energy, and so obviously it's a late night and an early morning, but you can't not, you know, be excited to be here all the time.
No time for softball questions, and that is, look, you've talked about in this offseason how great Cody Bellinger was here and how you continue to be in touch with him via text, and I think that shows one of your strengths beyond your baseball acumen and what you brought here is the fact that you're a good guy and that people like you. That doesn't hurt when you're in the position that you're in, the fact that you have these communications with players. We had Dansby Swanson here talking to us about how he communicates with you all the time.
My assistant GM. Yeah.
But the reality is that you're only a part of the equation. You made a chess move. You picked up a left-handed power hitter from the Dodgers that can't play first base. Scott Boras, who has great players out there right now, represents Cody, has other good players that the Cubs may or may not be interested in. How is that chess game going for you? And is there any anxiety, any trepidation going in forward, knowing that the player fits for you, he played great for you, but you have to be prepared to move on without him?
Yeah, no, I think in general you have to, there's a lot of paths that can lead to winning. There's not one path that leads to winning. Obviously, I really like Cody. We've got a great relationship, and he's a great player. But yeah, all roads can't lead that direction. You know, you have to have a lot of contingencies, and that's not just about him. It's about anyone. You know that if you build a team where one player gets hurt and you can't win, that's not a very good team. You know, this isn't the NBA. You got to build a team that has depth. You got to build a team that, you know, if someone goes down, you have to have a next man up mentality. And, you know, depth is really important. So, you know, if you can't build a team that if you take one player off that team, they're not very good, well, you have to look at free agency kind of the same way. And so I think that's how I see it. There's a lot of paths for us to be really good. I'm excited about our team. And, you know, we have more moves in store this offseason for sure. You know, we're certainly not done, but it can't be a one player makes the offseason type deal.
I know you've addressed this publicly. We haven't talked to you since this happened. Going into this offseason, because of your... We've gotten to know you pretty well. You've been here since 2011, and we know that you deal with things in a way that you humanize the process, and you come across very relatable. Firing David Ross could not have been easy. And so the way it's been reported, you showed up there. He wasn't expecting you. I imagine that had to be one of the more difficult conversations you've had as an executive. What was that process like in retrospect? And is it trite to wonder what you learned from the process or what you took away from that because it was so delicate in nature and important and significant to the Cubs?
Yeah. I guess I'd say this. I feel there's a part of me that's uncomfortable talking about this because it was someone's career and someone that I've known since 2008. I mean, I knew David when he was in Boston, you know, so that part was really hard. And I think I've said it a number of times. I look at it like, you know, if a decision is unbelievably hard and I'm still willing to do it, it means I feel like it's the right thing to do. And that's how I felt about this, that yeah, it made me sick to my stomach, the idea of flying to, you know, down there to talk to David. It was, you know, because I think he's a really good manager, because I think he's a really good person. And I think it was, without a doubt, the most difficult conversation in my career, as it would have to be. But I felt like, you know, I have a responsibility to this organization to make hard decisions. I've made a bunch of them. A lot of players that I got to know really well, I had to make really hard decisions on in 21 as well. So I think that's part of the job, that you have to be, I want to be relatable, I want to be close to guys, but ultimately my responsibility is to the Cubs, to these people, to the Ricketts, and I have to always keep that in mind.
Following up on David's question, I've asked a lot of baseball people this question over the years, and I always find it fascinating to get the answer. So I'll ask you, how much difference does a manager make in wins and losses? I've gotten, you know, variants of 5, 10, one way. Kerry Wood gave me a great answer about 5 years ago, and he said, I don't know how many games a manager can win, but I certainly know that if you're not a good manager, there's X amount of games that you're going to lose because of that.
It's funny you said that, because I actually, we've studied this a lot, and there's certainly a real tangible number of wins I think a good manager can get you. I think on the downside, it's obviously not, there's a number, but like I think on the downside, it's really massive, that when a manager or a coach in any sport loses the clubhouse, when they lose respect to the players, when their message doesn't connect, the downside is so big. And that's one of those things. This is not ever going to happen to Craig Counsell, and that's a great feeling. You don't ever have to worry about that. I think we have got a really good group of guys and players and competitors, and I think that certainly helps. But I have zero doubt when I go to bed at night that he will find a way to take the mix of players we have and make the most of it. That's what he does exceptionally well. You know, I think that if I gave him a collection of guys that could hit and not play defense, he'd find a way to win. If I gave him a collection of guys that could play defense and not hit, I think he'd find a way. And I just think that's the beauty of it is, I think in baseball, you can't have like a style. I think that like in other sports, you can be he's a defensive, you know, he's a defensive coach. I don't think you can do that in baseball. I think you have to take the collection of players you're getting and get the most out of them. This is the nature of our sport. You know, that Miami Heat can have a culture of tenaciousness and defense, and it works amazing, and Spoelstra's incredible. I just don't know if you can do that in baseball. I think you have to say, hey, these are the guys I'm gonna get, and I'm going to make the most of it.
It might be more organizational. It goes down to the system, the Cubs way, or teams adopt a certain type of emphasis that they teach at every level. And I wonder this. You get Craig Counsell, and the expectation is, well, you know what? First of all, the Cubs are going to have a big offseason because look what they just did. The other understanding is that he does do more with less, typically, in Milwaukee. That's what made him so great. And what if he can do more with more in Chicago? I mean, people come here, and the question I came posed coming into the show was, are people more excited about this season or more disappointed in the offseason because of the way it began and the way it sort of has stagnated, Jed? I mean, you hear it, I'm sure, walking around. I wonder what your level of frustration or impatience is.
Well, I'd say a couple of things. That first of all, it's not a very good free agent class, like, period. So the idea of having a really big offseason this offseason, this is one of the thinner free agent classes I think we've ever had. And, you know, we knew that last offseason. You're staring ahead at, oh, the 24 offseason is pretty thin, you know. And so I'm not sure there's the quote-unquote big offseason, I'm not sure that's in that group of players. You know, as far as being aggressive and winning, making more with more, there's a right time, certainly in our future, to sort of have that big offseason, to be really aggressive, to do that. But you have to have the players to do it, you know. I would, at some point, that is the right move. You can't force it, I guess, is probably the best way to say it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
You and I differ, and your opinion matters. Mine doesn't so much. On Christopher Morrell, I asked you this question yesterday in the media scrum about whether he's got a position or not, and you know your answer was, which has been the organization opinion, is he's a good baseball athlete. We can move him around to different positions. My theory is, look, you got a guy that's a known home run hitter. He's got something there. He could be a 30 to 40 home run hitter every year, maybe even more. Why not put him in just one position and say, leave him alone. This is your position. Go get him. Your theory is, you know what? During a baseball season, there's going to be a lot of injuries. He's a good baseball athlete. We can move him around. You know, tell me why my thoughts about just leaving him in one position doesn't really hold water.
Tell me what I don't know, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I just, you know, to me, I just... My views on this have changed a ton over the years. I feel like the game has changed. It used to be sort of making out the lineup card with the nine guys and make out the lineup. You know, here are your five starters, your three good relievers, and you play. And now it's just so much about, you know, it's not your 26 guys. It's about your 45 guys you're going to use. And so that's where, to me, Morrell is so valuable through the length of the season. He's going to play a ton. He's going to get a ton of at-bats for us. He's going to play a lot. He's just going to play in different spots because – We're gonna have injuries. We're gonna have.
He wasn't very good at any of those. Okay, so with that in mind, you know that's where the baseball.
He's young,
fan
Bruce.
Me,
he's you young.
Know, the baseball fan of me says, "Yeah, not everybody can play all these positions, Jed, because some of them are just not really defensively qualified."
Yeah. No, I think that's one view is like you just give him one spot and let him go, and I think that usually happens organically. I just think that. You know, someone's going to get hurt that we're not thinking about, and then that ends up being the spot. And, like, to just build nine guys and say, let's go, I think you're going to have injuries. And that's one of the things that I always I try to remember every year. And I used to have a 2.5-day drive before opening day with my dogs. I'd drive them back, and it would kind of be my time to think. And the thing I would tell myself over and over is weird stuff is going to happen that you – can't think of right now, and you have to be prepared for that. Like you try to think about every inevitability of what's going to happen, but like when you start the baseball season, it is a long and winding path that's going to take twists and turns, and different things are going to happen. And I think that you have to be mentally prepared for all those things.
How do you see Shota Imanaga fitting into the rotation, and are you done with starting pitching this offseason?
Well, first of all, I think he'll fit in really well. There's always an adjustment period, and you know, you don't know what degree that's going to take. But I think the way he pitches and the mix he has, I think he has all the tools necessary to use that mix to get guys out over here. You know, over there, his four-seam fastball is so good. I mean, I think you know led MPB in strikeouts last year. He was able to kind of go up and in on righties with a four-seamer and blow guys up. Over here, probably not going to do that as much, but he has a good split, you know, slider, curveball. I think his mix will work well. I'm excited to see his transition. As far as being done with starting pitching, I mean, we're always looking. There may not be another big addition, but you're always looking to find innings. And I was saying up there on stage that it's where the game has changed and you just have to evolve that. The days of getting, you know, 900 to 1,000 innings, knowing that out of your starting rotation, like those days are over. Guys don't face guys a third time through. Guys don't throw 200 innings, and so you have to be prepared to, you know, let 8 to 10 guys take those starts and do those innings. It's a different sport that way.
You and Carter have done exactly what Tom Ricketts asked you to do when you took over the job, and that is build a farm system that not only helps us on the field, but we can trade players, and other teams will be interested in our guys. congratulations to you. This is one of the harder things that any general manager has to do. You've done that, and you've done it well. My question to you is about Pete Crow Armstrong. When you try to evaluate the minimal amount of at-bats and games that he played compared to where he's at and can he be your starting center fielder, how anxious do you get about a decision like that going into spring training 2024?
So I don't put a lot of basis on what we saw. It's, you know, 13 at-bats and whatever it was in a pennant race, and his track record obviously speaks to more of that. To me, Craig's attitude is exactly right. Where the expectation has to be that a player is going to struggle when he comes to the big leagues, and then he's going to adjust, especially a 21-year-old. What he does well, he does at the highest possible level. You know, I mean, he is he's probably one of the three best people in the world that can play center field, you know, and that saves a lot of runs. And so there may be a world in which we put him in the lineup before his bat is ready, knowing that, right? And I think that, the Brewers did that last year with Bryce Terang. He played second base. He covers half the field. He's incredible there. You know, I think he on base like 250 or 260, but they felt like he was providing wins for them. And so I think Pete's going to be a really good hitter in the big leagues. You know, his defense is ahead of that, and I think that's a challenge. How do you work through that?
So you were a history major at Wesleyan University, so you know well the people that came before you. Bill Belichick was one of them at Wesleyan University. He retires this week. Let me rephrase that. He left the Patriots this week. He will coach again. Do you have a relationship with your fellow Wesleyan University graduate, and what was your reaction as a Patriots guy, right? As a Patriots fan, to him leaving and not being able to win without Brady?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that, I was in Boston for a long time. I grew up in New Hampshire, but, I'm not a Patriots fan anymore. I was a Belichick fan. I mean, I'm a Bears fan now. I got three boys I got to raise as Bears fans, so I think that it's important.
They're going to love that Caleb Williams jersey.
Yeah. My son, I took my son to a USC game this year. That was what he wanted to do, and he's already got one. So he's
smart kid.
Yeah. So I don't know Bill well. We've communicated a decent amount over the years. It's not like we're friends, but we've talked a bit over the years. And I think in 2018, their front office came and visited our front office, and we kind of exchanged ideas. I mean, he's exceptional. There's no way around it. You know, what he's done is unbelievable. His football mind is so amazing. One of the things that was really impressive, that the two most impressive people or groups that we've ever met with, and we did a ton of this, especially after 2016, was we had lunch with Spoelstra, who's unbelievable, and just had this is what we do, and we do well. And that was the key thing when we met with the Patriots. It's like, this is what we do well. And I think there's a lot to that, you know, in any draft, you know, we're going to get one of every 30 players, right? And so it's like, you're going to miss on 29 out of 30 players. Pick guys that you want, not that the draft people think you want, not that,
right.
These are our style of players. And I think the Patriots did an exceptional job of that for a long time. They had a style, they played it. Obviously, Brady was a huge part of that, but, to win six titles in that number of years is amazing, to be that good that long. And, it's interesting, right? Because I think that this week you'd be crazy not to sort of step back as a person and think about just like your career mortality, so to speak, right? You watch, Nick Saban's the best to ever do it. He steps away. Belichick's the best to ever do it. He steps away. And you realize, Pete Carroll, this is a chapter. To watch those guys and see what they did and see them step away. Someone will sit in my chair at some point. That is part of life. My job is to be the best custodian of the organization as long as I can in that chair, but realizing that, someone will be there after me, mm-hmm.
Philosophically, you've always been opposed to long-term deals for closers, okay? Historically, it's been proven out to you. That's the reason why you have that philosophy. Can that change? Will that change with this market, depending on maybe the inventory or the person out there that wants 5 years and might only get two or three?
Yeah. The elite closer, the leverage they pitch in makes a huge difference. I mean, certainly when we traded for Chapman, there was a reason. It was like he was going to pitch the highest leverage innings, and we knew we were kind of one piece away from being easily the best team. We traded Jorge Soler. He didn't have, I mean, in a non-DH world, we just didn't have a place for him, but we traded him for 1 year away Davis and a draft pick because of the leverage he was going to pitch. So I do believe in that, but I also think that the most volatile position on a baseball field is a reliever, and I think you have to take that in mind as you build a bullpen, that this is a high volatility, high regression area, and you have to think about your investments in that way, that you want to put your dollars generally in the areas that you're most certain about.
Jed Hoyer, thank you for joining us. This has been a lot of fun, and everybody, I think, enjoyed it, so appreciate it.
Always. Thank you, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. See ya.
All right. Inside the Clubhouse, we will be back to wrap things up here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.